We're going to begin, because I'd like to begin on time and always be respectful of the people who are here. So let me say again, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, and I am Dr. Jackie Black. And this morning we're going to be talking about connecting to your inner coach. And before we get started, I'm going to give you a minute to grab a piece of paper and a pencil, because we're going to be doing a lot of work this morning. And don't worry if you miss something or if I go fast. I've got a lot to cover in an hour. And I made an executive decision that I would really make this presentation jam-packed, because I know that you're going to have the recording to listen to over and over as much as you want to. So I'm going to give you as much value and as much high content as possible, and then I'm going to trust you to make sense out of it and to make it operational when you get access to the recording. So connecting to your own inner coach. I want you to understand that you need to connect to yourself before you can do any work as a coach, in my opinion. Before we can be the alchemist of change and transformation for other people, and before we can be the sacred holder of possibilities for other people, we have some personal work to do first. And as coaches, we're required to build our vessel and our channel first. Our vision of our life, our life purpose. Lisa, I think I have an echo.
Yeah.
Our vision of our life purpose, our mission, and the needs and values that are unique to us are the four corners or the foundational pillars of our inner life. And it's our right and our obligation to ourselves and to those in our world to be certain that we're engaging in our life with integrity, with accurate information, and with full awareness about ourselves. We create our life and our love life through our beliefs, intentions, and the actions that we take in the world. Every one of us has an inner guidance system that drives us and guides us in making choices, whether we're aware of it or not. And so the presentation this morning is really to tap into some of those inner places and to either connect or reconnect with your awareness. So our system includes four related but separate parts. Here are the four. Number one, needs and values. They are the external and the internal structures of our life. Our vision, and that's what we want our life to be. Three, our life's purpose, and that is our reason for being. And number four is our mission, and our mission are the daily choices and behaviors that we put into action. There's some background noise. If you have some background noise, please put yourself on star six. Star six. Thank you. All right, so I'll go back to number three. Number three, life purpose, our reason for being. And number four is our mission. What the background noise is. So maybe you could mute everybody else. Thanks. Okay. So needs and values, vision, what we want our life to be, life's purpose, our reason for being, and our mission, the daily choices and behavior that put into action living on purpose with vision driven by needs and values. And I'm going to say that again. Mission, our mission, are the daily choices and behaviors that put into action living on purpose with vision driven by needs and values. So, needs and values, vision, life purpose, and mission are the four essential cornerstones that form the basis of your inner life. You may not be clear about what these four cornerstones are, but they are all in your subconscious, and they help you to make the decisions that match for you. Remember that it's your right and your obligation to yourself and to those in your world to be certain that you're engaging in your life with integrity, with accurate information, and with full awareness about yourself. So let's start with needs and values. Needs are those things that are essential to you doing your best, having your best, and being your best. The plain fact is that we all have needs, and our needs are legitimate. Meeting your own needs and getting your needs met by others and meeting the needs of others are important aspects of creating the vision of your life. Meeting your own needs, getting some of your needs met by other people, the needs that you cannot meet by yourself, and meeting the needs of other people. It's your personal responsibility to become mindful and to stay mindful of your own needs and wants, as well as the needs and wants of your partners, children, and others in your family and social system. Values, in contrast to needs, are almost always internally related. Values cannot be met by another person. Values cannot be met by external environments or events. They are internally related. So knowing what you value and honoring your values by behaving in concert with those values energizes everything and everybody involved in your life. Now, your values can be more related to qualities and can be experienced and discerned inside of you. And they range from the common traits like belief in hard work, self-reliance, being on time, having concern for others, being courteous, trusting in others, wanting harmony of purpose. Okay, those are all values internally related. So needs are those things that are essential to you doing your best, having your best, and being your best. And your values are internally related qualities that support you in your life. They're like the sort of the light, from the lighthouse that beam out into the world. Now, the vision of your life is the concept of the world you want to live in and be a part of. It's what you want your life to be in all aspects, and in your vision should have as much detail related to it as possible. Your life purpose is a concept that defines your intentions and your actions so that you can create the world that you want to live in. Your life purpose guides your choices. It helps you know where you're headed, and it fills your life with meaning. Your life purpose is your reason for being, as the French say, your raison d'être. It is the expression of what you want to be and what you want to do in your life. It's your unique capacity to contribute in the mental, spiritual, physical, and social areas of your life. Your mission is the plan that you have and that you use to carry out your purpose. Your mission are the specifics about how to implement the plan in your personal and professional life. Your daily choices and behaviors that put into action living on purpose with vision driven by needs and values is your mission. If you live from your very being, you will be alive and you will live in alignment with your needs and values, vision, and life purpose. What so many people forget is that lasting happiness, peace of mind, deep and joyful love, abundance, physical and emotional health are created through who you are being rather than what you are doing or having. People really do it backwards. They want to do so they can have what they want, and then they'll be happy. And that's completely backwards. We need to be who we are as the full expression of ourselves. And then we do that which affirms and esteems our being, and we can have everything in the world that we need and want. So be, do, have. Be who you are. Do that which affirms your highest and best self, and know that you'll have everything that you need and want. So the first thing that I'm going to do, grab a piece of paper and a pencil if you haven't already heard me say that. And we're going to talk about needs, and I'm going to ask you some questions. Rather than write down the questions, because you are going to have access to the recording. So rather than write down the question, I want you to write down the answers to the questions. So do this work with me now. This is all about your needs. When you were growing up, who in your house had the right to have needs? What did you learn about your needs? Who do you know in your life who's good at getting their needs met? How does this person let you know that she or he has needs? Does this person ask you to meet some of his needs? All of his needs? Her needs? His or her? How specifically does this person ask you, what are the words? What are the behaviors? Sometimes they're nonverbal. How does this person communicate their needs to you? Now think of the need that you may have that you have not let yourself know that you have. Like needing more order in your home. Or needing someone to let you know when he or she is going to be late. Can you meet that need yourself? What two things can you do? Do you need someone else to change something so that that need can be met? And who is that person? What do you need to ask that person to change so that your need can be met? Now often, people don't even know that it's okay to have needs. And if they have them, they certainly would never ask anybody to meet their needs or help them meet their needs. So what do you know right now about your needs? Your ideas about having needs, asking other people to meet them. How do you feel about meeting other people's needs? How well do you meet other people's needs? And I know I'm going through this quickly, but I want you to, the first thing that pops into your mind is probably the most important to focus on first. So stay very connected and alert, tuned in to what's coming up for you as I go through all these questions. And here's the big one. What fears do you carry around inside you about having needs? Or about having your needs met. Okay, so I want you to take a deep breath. Stand up or shake your hands and, you know, your upper body and say you're going to shift energy. Shift the energy. Shift the focus. The next series of questions is going to be about your values. About your values. And remember that a meaningful and satisfying life occurs when you have designed your life, your love life, your work life, your family life, so that what you are doing, how you are interacting with people, is aligned with your values. So are you aware of any values that you have? And again, you can have a value
hold values for lots and lots of different things. There are lists and lists and lists of values. If nothing comes to mind, it's good information for you, and you know that you've got some work to do. Perhaps you've done some work around values, and this is a reminder. Or maybe you use values and depend on your values in your life, and you're bringing them to mind right now.
So make a list of the values that you hold. Monogamy is a value. Going to college, higher education. Being honest, living in the world from integrity, being on time. Doing what you say, saying what you do. They're all values. World peace is a value. So write down as many values as you can. And if you only have one or two, that's perfectly fine. And if you don't have any at all, that too is perfectly fine. And that alerts you to some work. So now we're going to move to vision. To vision. And vision work is really fun work. It requires that you allow your mind to wander, your imagination to take off. In terms of vision, all things are possible. Vision doesn't have anything to do with your reality. So don't let your reality or the boundaries or restrictions of your reality and how you think about your reality affect the vision. Play big with your vision. And I use the word play very respectfully. But play big. If all things were possible, if there was no such thing as time and space, if anything, if you could, so for me, if I could be in Paris for breakfast and have that wonderful café au lait and a croissant, right? No croissant in the world like croissants in Paris. So if I could have a croissant in Paris and high tea in London, and come back and have mac and cheese by the fireplace in my own home. That would be a perfect day for me. So do I sound like a psycho foodie to you? So that's my vision of my perfect day. My perfect day includes a couple of other things, but that's a sort of some parts of my vision. So there are no restrictions. Time and space, money doesn't get involved. If you could wave a magic wand and create the life that you want to live, include anything and everything that you ever wanted. Who are the people? Where would you live? How would you live? Kind of a house. Maybe you have five houses. Maybe you live on a boat. You know, how would you be regarded? What would the work do? Would you be working inside or outside, working with people? Would you be walking with people, talking? One of the things that I started doing a number of years ago was walking with clients. I take walks with my clients, those who are local. And that came through doing some visioning work. And all of a sudden, I found myself writing, I would love to coach people while I was walking in a beautiful place. And I thought, wow. And I offered that as an option to a couple of my clients, just as an experiment. And people said, oh, that would be great. Amazing things happen when you walk and talk. So let anything come into your mind that you possibly can. If you imagine your life, your personal world, exactly as you want it to be, how would it be? What are the activities that you love to do? What would you love to do that you've never allowed yourself to do? What have you made part of your life for as long as you can remember? And that's a question that a lot of people who do visioning work don't ask. What have you made part of your life for as long as you can remember?
So don't think that you're going to write your vision on our call this morning. But what you know is you can begin to sit down in a quiet place and give this some thought. The other thing about a vision is understand that it is a living document. All of these things are living documents. What you write down today and what you decide later today or tomorrow as you review the recording and you write more and more and more, it's a working document for today with a possible, probable expression of your values. Values really tend to not change so much for us. It's not always true, but it's generally true. So think about all of this work as a work in progress, as working, living documents. They can be changed. So when you sit down and you bring your attention to the foundational pieces of your life, understand that life is complicated, life changes, you change and grow. You have lots of experiences that begin to deeply inform you. And so these things will change from time to time. They're not carved in stone. So let's move on to the fourth piece, your life purpose. The life purpose. Take a moment and recall as many people as you can whom you admire. They can be family, friends, celebrities, characters in a book or films, people in history, anyone about whom there is something that you like or value, or some personality trait or attribute to which you aspire. And I want you to build a list, and again, not necessarily on this call, but sometime very soon, it's my coaching challenge to you. I want you to build a list of at least 10 people. And notice specifically what it is you relate to or resonate with most significantly. And then make some notes. What I relate to or resonate to about this person is. What I relate to, resonate with about this person is. And let me tell you something very important that I want you to always remember. You cannot see something in somebody else that is not already inside yourself. And I'm going to say that again. You cannot see something in somebody else. You can't relate to or resonate with or see, admire, appreciate, value something in somebody else, something about someone else outside of you that isn't already inside you. So often we say, oh, I wish I could be like that. The fact that you even have that wish tells you absolutely that it's already inside you and that the work isn't to go get it and put it inside of us, because how could that even be possible? But that our work is to tap into that which is already a part of our true essence, of our true nature. What I'd like to do now is a life purpose exercise. And it's a guided visualization or guided imagery. And so I want you to put your pencils down and sit in a comfortable chair, close your eyes, place your feet flat on the floor, your back straight, not sort of like a soldier, but just so that your back is straight and your neck is holding up your head. And put your hands loosely in your lap with the palms up. And breathe deeply in through your nose and out through your mouth 3 or 4 times. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions. And again, it's not important to ask the questions. Just allow whatever comes to emerge or to bubble up or to come into your mind, and it might come in and go out just as quickly. So just let go of all expectations for yourself in this exercise. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to listen with your ears and with your whole body to your answers. Why are you here? What are you meant to do? What do you deeply enjoy doing? What have been your happiest moments in life? Why were they happy? Where would you like to spend most of your time? What is innate and inherent to you? If you had unlimited time and resources, and you could do anything you wanted without restrictions, what would it be? Do you have a dream or a deep desire that you keep putting on the back burner? What talents do you have that no one knows about? What can you do best that would be of worth to others? Who are you to other people in your life? What would two or three people in your life say about you? What purpose do they see you fulfilling in their lives? What is it that so many people rely on you for? Who have you been for people? I'm going to hold this space now for a few minutes so that you can let these images flow in and out of your mind, observing any sensations you may be feeling in your body, any sounds you may be hearing, or thoughts you may be thinking. think in a moment, I want you to take 2 or 3 deep breaths and open your eyes when you're ready and refocus your consciousness back in your room. And as soon as you can, spend some time writing down the answers to the questions that I just asked. And answer each question in at least several sentences. And this is an important piece. Lots of times people will make lists. But in this work, I really encourage you to answer the questions in complete sentences. And then go back and underline any key words from each sentence. And then put all of the underlined words on a separate piece of paper. And if you look at the underlined words on a separate piece of paper, there will be themes and associations that you'll be able to make. You'll probably find that there are natural categories that will begin to emerge. And so from the themes and associations and the natural categories that emerge, you'll be ready to build your life purpose statement. So now take a deep breath and again, stand up with you and we'll sort of shake it out because we're going to shift again into something else. So take a deep clearing breath, get focused. I want to talk about developing your mission. Remember that your mission are the actions, the daily actions and decisions that you'll make and actions that you'll take. And your mission is for your work, for your life, for your relationships. You can have a mission statement for anything that you want. You can have one that really is a foundational piece that includes needs, values, and your vision. Or you can have your life. You can do this in whatever way that will be the most helpful to you. So right now, think about your work or your life or your relationship and ask yourself these questions. What 5 things can I do this week to support myself on my purposeful path? Now, let me be clear. These don't have to be huge things. And in fact, they can be very small. It's only your left brain that's going to tell you, oh, this isn't important. That's not big enough. That's not, what's another word, significant. That's your left brain. Tell your left brain, thanks for sharing, and go back to your work, your personal work, because it's not necessary to decide that whatever you decide to do is big or small or significant or insignificant. The things that you do, the actions that you take, are inspired actions. They are actions that support you, that affirm and esteem your being. So they all count equally. They're all weighted equally if we were to do that. And of course, we're not going to. It's not part of this work. That's the purview of the left brain. This is important. This is big. This is small. In this kind of internal work, everything you do, everything you think, everything that comes into your mind is yours and is important about you, or you wouldn't think it or imagine it or question it. So what are the 5 things that you can do this week to support yourself on your purposeful path? And whatever they are, make sure that they take you in the direction you want to go. So here's the next question. What are my natural abilities, talents, and skills that are my strengths and assets? What are my natural abilities, talents, and skills that are my strengths and assets? Or your strengths might be different. You might ask the question, what are my strengths, gifts, and skills and natural abilities? Now, you probably will already know this about yourself, but it's always worth asking one or two people you really trust what they think you are particularly good at. You might be surprised at the answer. We often take our own talents, our own skills, our own natural abilities for granted. So here's the next question. What is it about me that others most value? What's it about me that others most value? And think about the things that people say about you. This is not the time to be modest. Okay, forget that. This is honesty. You need to really own these things about yourself. And if I could wave a magic wand, I would support you vigorously to be proud of who you are and what you have to offer others. And I can only say to you that if other people don't value and appreciate you, then maybe what's wrong is not about you, but about the people that you're choosing to give to be present with in your life. So thanks. So what is it about me that others most value? What are some things that people say about you? So do you have a glimpse of the big picture in your life or the awareness about your purposeful path? Looking back over your life, can you notice any specific behaviors or decisions or choices that you made or that you didn't make or that you wish you had made? What kind of driver have you been so far in the vehicle of your life? Life is do-it-yourself. People come in and out of our lives. They're players on our stage. They bring their richness. They bring their gifts. Sometimes they stay. Sometimes they stay for a short time and they go. Sometimes they stay for a long time and they go. I used to say that my life was like a revolving door. People would come in and go out. And I said that with some sadness. And so I realized that that was the gift, that sometimes people and experiences and events aren't meant to come and stay. They are meant to come to bring their gifts and then to go on their way. And the meaningfulness of our interactions and our intersections with people, and those are very different, interactions and intersections, is that we are open to, that we prepare the space for people to offer, to bring, to deliver their gifts so that we can build on them, we can use them, and they're like rich threads in the fabric of our life. So we've had an opportunity to talk a little bit conceptually about the four parts of our inner guiding system, needs and values, number two, vision, number three, life purpose, number four, mission, and had an opportunity to do a little work around each of them. So what I'd like to do in the remaining 20 minutes is I'm a little afraid to release the lines, but I'm wondering if we can do sort of this raise your hand system. And if you could push 2 on your keypad, and Lisa will see it come up, and then she will release your line, and you and I can do a little bit of basic coaching if that will help. I can answer any questions or share any thoughts that you might have. I'd love to hear your thoughts about your experiences so far this morning. So if you'd like to offer thoughts, feelings, or offer some feedback, do a little bit of coaching, please push 2 on your keypad. So, anything happening out there? So I'm aware that the recording is going, and you really don't want blank spaces in the recording, so I'm feeling compelled to keep talking. This work is not easy, and it's thoughtful, and sometimes when we sit, yes.
I'm sorry, this is Denise. I did have a question, but my pushing number 2 didn't help. So I unmuted myself. I hope that's okay.
That's fine. Hang on for just a minute. Let's do 2 things. Let me finish my sentence, and then tell me what you pushed to talk to me, and then we'll tell everybody how to do that.
Okay.
So let me just finish my sentence, which is to say that when you do this work, expect that lots of things will bubble up and emerge that you might not have expected. So expect the unexpected. Whenever we do introspective work or contemplative work, we cannot be in control of what emerges, of what comes up inside of us. So just be aware and welcome it. And that's all I'll say about that. Welcome it. So thanks, Denise. And what was your secret? What did you press to get on fire?
I actually just unmuted myself.
Which was star 6.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay, Denise, what's your question, please?
Well, my question is the exercise that you did with us, asking us the series of questions, the one most recent. What happens if you're working with a client who feels so unempowered in their life? They're really stuck with not being able to look at themselves in what they bring to the world at all. Like, what do you do when you're starting with somebody who feels they have absolutely no voice?
Right. Okay. So the exercise that I did with all of you today is something that I believe we as coaches should do so that we have more and more access of ourselves. If we're working with a client and our client doesn't have access, it's an important word to me, they don't have access to their voice yet. There's an embedded presupposition in what I just said, which is that they do have a voice, they just don't have access to it, and they will. Yes means, and they will. So they don't have access yet. And you'll want to ask questions that will help them to begin the process of exploring. Right, to begin the process of exploring. Because many people don't. That's why coaching is so powerful and so magical. Because it really creates a space for people to tap into their internal experiences of life. We live in a world that values product stream, and it's all about what we're doing and how fast we're doing it and how much we're getting paid or how much we're being paid for the thing that we're doing or selling or creating. And so there are a lot of places in life and Western civilization where we are invited or encouraged or supported to access our inner life, our inside self. So I would start very gently, and I love to use the metaphor about befriending a sparrow in the park. You know, you go to lunch, and you're sitting on a bench, and you are watching the sparrows
in the grass, you know, sort of hop around in the grass. How would you approach that, Sparrow? And that approaching ourselves and tapping into those deepest, richest parts of ourselves is really like befriending a tiny sparrow in the park. And I think when we use metaphors like that, we really help people understand that it's a process and that there's nothing that they have to do. That, you know, how do you turn yourself inside to yourself? Well, one way is through our breath, right? Just breathing. It's very hard to quiet the mind, and again, in the Western world. But breathing, breath is the life force of the universe. And the other thing, interestingly enough, and I'm looking forward to your feedback about this, is through our five senses. Through our five senses. So if someone enjoys airplanes, you know, I might say, so I wonder if there would be any value in going to the airport and watching the planes take off. Or for some people, it might be going and ordering a dessert, a yummy dessert. Or drinking a glass of amazing wine. What do you sell to do that? Or being in a store, going into like Nordstrom's and going to the haute couture department and really feel the fabrics. Men can go into the men's department and just feel the fabrics of the clothing. See, so people are transformed and they're taken inside themselves through the five senses. So, but we wouldn't tell them what to do, right? Because in coaching, we don't make suggestions. So we would never make the suggestion. But we would ask a question that it would invite their deeper exploration of what might be meaningful to them. Does that make sense?
Yep, I see where you're going with that. It basically, what I hear is that it helps them to not think as much as to feel from the inside out.
Yes, to feel, to smell. Mm-hmm. To smell, to taste.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much for that answer.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Nice question. So star 6 is the trick.
Question.
Yes, Susan, please.
This is Robert. I'm actually taking the coach training.
Hey, Robert. Yeah, I got
you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
This is great. Came at a particularly good time for me, and I really appreciated your honesty in delivering it, too. I was wondering, is there a written version of this we can access?
yes, I will make it available. Yes, I will. I will send it to Lisa, and I think she can probably make it a link, and we can put it on to my page for the symposium. We'll figure out the technology. That's not my department, but I'll make that available, Robert. Thank you for the request.
Yeah, it was excellent. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Dr. Jeff, this is Consuelo.
Consuelo, hello. Nice to hear from you.
It's great to hear you first thing in the morning. That's what I want. I want this tape for myself. thank you so much for the guided visualization. You know, I find that this has been an exercise for self and bringing your authentic self. You're so right about that, because I have been in a place of struggle. And as you know, I deal with being a personal caretaker as well. And I see that so clearly that I have gotten yanked off center. And therefore, I haven't been in my work in an authentic way. Mm-hmm. And taking the time out to do that guided visualization really helped me see that no matter what, I have to put that first as a priority, because otherwise everything else falls apart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a very powerful awareness, Consuelo. So I'm glad that you'll have this, so that you'll be able to get that on track. and then provide the way forward for you to offer your gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very clearly. I mean, everything else flows from that rather, you know, rather easily because, you know, I'm in contact, you know, with what my natural abilities, talents, and skills are, and I know that there are times when you're more at the top, I hate to use this, well, for lack of a better phrase, the top of your game as opposed to, you know, when you're really not there authentically. And, I want to say thank you.
Thank you, and you're very welcome. Take good care.
You as well.
This is Valerie.
Thank you. Yes, Valerie, hi.
Dr. Jackie?
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, this is Cheryl.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It was a great session. And on the needs area, and that you ask who needs their needs met, I think, kind of. And who do we know? Growing up in our families, in my family, everyone's needs had to be met. So that was my response to that one, is that everyone's needs have to be met. And certainly whose needs were probably the most met? My father and the youngest child, the baby.
Mm-hmm,
So anyway, my dad had a way of making sure that my mother, as well as the rest of the family, knew what things he wanted done, what his expectations were. And so my mother was a homemaker at the time, so she was very good at meeting dad's needs. And the rest of us certainly learned to watch that, and I modeled some of those behaviors in my own marriage, and some I decided to not model.
Yes, I was going to say that, Cheryl. Yeah, thank you for sharing your story. And you bring up a very important point, is that the reason that we want to look and see what we learn is that we might decide to do it a different way. We might decide that way isn't a good fit for us. So it isn't
exactly.
Always that we model, right? It isn't always that we model what we learn. Sometimes we can become aware of something, and then we can be at choice as adults and decide to do what matches for us and then let go of the model.
Yeah,
so
And that's I've practiced a lot in my own life, in my own marriage, and I found that actually I've been pretty happy doing it that way.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing, Cheryl. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Bach, this is
Daniel
Park. Hi. Dr. Bach, I have a question for you. First of all, let me just thank you for the session. It was really good and very timely. The question I have is, a few years ago, I went through a visioning process like this where I defined a mission statement for my life. And I think that I've lived pretty much on course to it. I've been pretty true to it in terms of how I develop in my career, not so much in my personal life, but in my career. And I'm just wondering, once you've done it once, does it make sense to rethink it and rebook it at a certain point? Because I would have done it now maybe 13 years ago.
Yes, definitely. It would definitely make sense. And I would actually encourage everyone to do it once a year, either on your birthday or at New Year's or Chinese New Year's or 4th of July. It's something that comes around every year. I started something with my family a number of years ago as my children were getting older and it was clear they were going to be off in their own lives. And that one of the only times in the year that we all get together is Thanksgiving. And so after we finish our Thanksgiving meal, we all sit around and we talk about the year in retrospect and what the next year might hold and where we are and what our hopes and dreams are, what disappointments or regrets were. And so you can do it personally or you can do it with your family or do it with friends. I have clients who have a circle, and they do this together as six women. They've been doing it, I think, now about 6 years. So, yes, it's a wonderful opportunity annually. I don't think I do it more than annually, but if something's changing in your life, if you've experienced a loss or a shift or had a brilliant opportunity for something, then that's an important time to reset your values and your mission, too.
So wonderful question, Rachel. Thank you. Does that help?
Thank you. Absolutely it does. And you answered the question that was really on my mind because I wanted to know if I could do it with my son. And so
Thanks, Rachel. So I'm just thinking, wondering, I heard Valerie, I believe I heard that name. Is there Valerie out there and do you have a question? Yeah. Hi.
Thank you. thank you so very much. It was a very beautiful session. I just started a meditation journey and been in a neighborhood sangha and such for about the last 3 years or so. So it really spoke to me and it was very beautiful. And I'm so glad to hear that you're going to put this out in written form in that, you know, for me, it just takes a long time to really get down deep enough so that I can really be authentic in my answers. And I just didn't have the time to really go very, very deep. It just went a little too fast for me. But
sure,
it was just absolutely beautiful. And I'm so appreciative of your talents and thoughtfulness. And I just, I guess I noticed for myself, I tend to, and probably this is most people, I tend to champion other people much better than I champion myself. I'm working. I'm working on that so that with my clients I can walk my talk. So I am working on all of those things because I cannot very well show someone, how to do it if I haven't authentically been there. But I do tend to go more to the what I haven't done as opposed to what I have done, and it's very hard to reach that side. It's much easier to go with the failings and shortcomings than it is the talents and the other positive things.
And
I also, my overall thing for me is I kind of notice this, it's hard for me to finish things, finish my schooling, finish building my practice, finish, you know, just staying focused long enough and believing in myself and having the courage to finish things is, I say, the overriding thing that maybe came out in this session.
Excuse me for interrupting. This is Cheryl. I just want to say goodbye. I've got the next session coming up. I need to log in, too.
Thanks,
okay.
Cheryl. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Dr. Jackie. Thanks. Bye-bye,
everybody. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, Hillary, that's a very poignant reminder for yourself, and I hope that this will help you build on that.
I don't know. I maybe if I have a chance to go back through or something like that, perhaps I can fish something out. Like I said, I just couldn't go that deep at this time. It was too fast.
Yeah, no, I understand. And that's often the challenge with this kind of presentation. But thank you so much for being here and for sharing your experience. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very welcome. You're very welcome. One more person would like to share, and then we have to end for today. Any other thoughts, questions, or feedback? Okay, well, I just want to thank everybody so much for the opportunity to be with you this morning. And I look forward to another opportunity to be on the bridge with you soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Dr. Jackie, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?